Welcome to the transformative teaching of Pastor Mavis C. Oji, whom God has called in this generation to raise a community of Christ-like believers who are purpose-driven, passionately ablaze for God, and set for global impact. Get ready to encounter wisdom and power as these words will cause a remarkable shift in your life.
Now, as we come closer to the coming of our Lord Jesus, thank you, choir. As we come closer to the coming of our Lord Jesus, the Bible shows us a few things that will characterize the end time. A few things that will characterize the end time. And one of the things that will characterize the end time is the falling away of many. The Bible says, many shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and the doctrines of demons. It says, many shall depart from the faith. And the reason is because they have given heed to seducing spirits and the doctrines of demons. I want you to be aware that in this age, there are seducing spirits. Now, these are not, the seduction here doesn't have to do with, you know, moral seduction and all that. It has to do with seduction from the true knowledge of Jesus. The demons that try to seduce people so that they will believe on another God. They will believe that Jesus did not die, that he was not buried, that he was not raised to life. So you go everywhere on the internet today and you begin to see a lot of people publicizing and announcing another Jesus. Some other people are saying, oh, it's a lie. He doesn't exist. There's nothing like that. The demons working with those people, the Bible already foretold that they are called seducing spirits. The demons that try to get the attention of people from the true God and try to show them something else. It says they will be seduced by these demons. Why will these demons seduce them? These demons are doomed eternally. They know that there's no hope for them again, that they will perish eternally in hell. The Bible says because of the sins that they committed, they have been held in chains of eternal darkness. There's no hope. And I usually will say that when somebody knows that there's no hope for them and the person is really wicked, one of the things they will do is to drag everybody to die with them. And the Bible says the devil is walking, is going the extra mile, to and fro over the universe to seek and to see how many people he will be able to drag with him to hell. Hell was designed for Satan and his agents. But the seducing spirits, coupled with the doctrine. Doctrines of demons will not necessarily be taught by the evil demon spirits by themselves. You see them? No. Some people will be hot and they will be cold. He said that's the sign of the last days. He says in the last days in Matthew, he says, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many will do what? Wax cold. He said, but he that endures to the end. In other words, there are certain people that will not be able to endure to the end. Are we here together? There are certain people that will not be able to endure to them. He said the only people that will experience the fullness of salvation is he that endures to the end. He said the same shall be saved. Many people in today's world are exposed because of the, of course, it's a very good one. Knowledge is increasing and there's nothing bad about it. But they're exposed to all manner of teachings and they're not able to balance it. And the inability of people to balance just 1 minute clip or 5 minute clip, you hear something, this one fights another one, that one attacks another person, and sometimes you're not getting the full gist of what the person is saying. You confuse knowledge. And whenever people are not able to get accurate knowledge, when a piece of truth is sold to somebody, chances are that you will believe a lie. The worst thing that can happen to a person is to believe a lie. When you believe a lie, you are called a person who has been deluded. Delusion. They have shown you something that is wrong and you believe it passionately. There are people like that. They are helping Satan propagate his errors. That Jesus did not die. Jesus was not raised to life. Jesus does not exist. Forget all that kind of things. Remember Paul said it. He said, if that is the fact, then we'll say, eat and drink. Tomorrow we die because there is nothing. But he said, no. If we have hope in God only in this world, he said, we are of all men most miserable. I want to share a little bit about the crucified Christ. Let me give you 5 things this morning. Please follow me carefully. 5 solid scripture-based reasons why every believer must encounter the crucified Christ before the glorified Christ. Five reasons why you need to meet the crucified Christ. If you have not met the crucified Christ, you will not know the value of his glorification. If you have not met the crucified Christ, you would not know the power of grace. And that's why a lot of people abuse the power of grace, because they lack understanding of the power of grace. They have not met the crucified Christ. If you meet the crucified Christ, the way you see things will change. Many of the times when two people are looking at something from two different perspectives, the way they explain will be different. Somebody who has seen only one perspective of maybe an elephant will probably say the elephant has, the head of the elephant is like a tail. It's very small because you're looking from the back. The person who's seen from the front will say it's not a small tail, it's a very long tail. They still say it's tail. The person from the side will say, oh, it's a tail, but there is a head attached to it somewhere, because they have perspectives. And that's why you need to see the whole counsel of God. Many people, when they came to faith, they told them, oh, when you give your life to Jesus Christ, everything has quickly changed immediately. And they entered, unknown to them, that there are other dimensions, that there are other things, that there is the path of those who are willing to suffer with him and those who will be glorified with him. So when they see a little challenge, something small happens to them, they say, no, I'm not interested again. What kind of thing is that? That's not what they promised me. Listen. When Jesus taught his disciples, he taught them the whole counsel. When they started passing the message, they passed the whole counsel. Somewhere along the line, it has been said that when people are passing history through oral tradition, chances are that vital information will be lost. By the time it's getting to 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 generation, what they know will no longer be what originally happened. That's where we are. Because people don't read their Bibles anymore. And because people don't read their Bibles, they cannot find the answers. They don't know the truth. If you meet an average Christian that goes to church on a Sunday and sits them with a logical unbeliever, just logical, they cannot match the unbeliever's logic about whether God exists or not. Why? Because the person has more understanding. And the Bible says, study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And preparing your heart for 2026 so that you can tell yourself that from this season of my life, I will never again be a shallow Christian. I will never. It is the worst thing that can happen to be a shallow Christian. The glory ahead of you, you will not be able to enter it. The glory of our faith is not money. The glory of our faith is not in beautiful houses and cars. The glory of our faith is in what Paul said, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto what? Unto his death. You need to understand it. If you don't understand it, you just realize that there are many people everywhere, but their faith is shaking. Every small thing, they're already shouting. Every little thing, they can't stand. Anything that has to do with seriousness and conviction about God, they are down already. The things of God will become so difficult for many people. Why? Because they don't have the depth and the quality of knowledge to sustain an understanding in this end time. The Bible says in the last days, the knowledge will increase. Many will start running to and fro. That's where we are. Who is the glorified, just crucified Christ? The crucified Christ is the Christ that died, was battered, was wounded, was bruised. The glorified Christ is the Christ that is seated on the throne at the right hand of the Father. And many times when people are thought, they are usually told that Jesus died for you. No, you can't just tell the person what kind of death. Because if you say somebody died for you, you want to know what kind of death, what mile did the person go, what did the person really do for me? Because it's not enough to just tell somebody Jesus died for you. They say, We need to show them what the death of Jesus is, what it meant to God, how that God could not condone sin, how that God could not stand it, that he had to say, do you know that concerning this matter, God sent angels to come to the face of the earth, to stay with the sons of men and settle their matters. Those angels fell and started sleeping with human beings. The Bible says the angels that did not maintain their first estates, they saw the sons of men that they were fair, and they began to sleep with them. Angels. That's why he said, and I heard a voice in heaven, and he said, who is worthy to open the book and tear up the seals thereof? And he said, there was none found in heaven. Why? Even the angels that were made perfect, standing in the midst of his holiness, they could not stand it. Why? They had fallen already. Those angels have fallen already. They could not stand. He said, but I saw one as a lamb upon the throne, and he stood up, and he took the scroll, and he opened it up, and he read what was inside. What was Jesus reading? Jesus was reading all the things that you will do, all the
terrible life, all the bad things, and what he will have to suffer. And he decided that he would drink from the cup of the suffering so that you and I will live. He knew it already. He knew the pain. He knew the shame. He knew everything that would happen. But when people were taught Christianity, that's why people are no longer disciples. And yes, before, maybe 20 years above, or I don't know, 20, 25 years above, not maybe thereabout. When people come to church, there's discipleship. They are eager to come for discipleship class. They want to learn things about Jesus. But today, people just want to collect things from Jesus. The Jesus people know is the one they collect from. The Jesus they know is the one they collect healing from. The one they collect deliverance from. And all those things are available. I'm not denying the fact. But I'm saying that if that is all you know, you have not known him. Why? Paul had seen it. Paul had walked in that supernatural. Then one day he woke up. He said that I may know him. And the power of his resurrection. The fellowship of his suffering. So that I will be made in the likeness of his resurrection. It's a dimension of knowledge. By God's grace, I was taking my time. And God showed me something I'm going to share with you in Oxano. Six dimensions of fellowship with God. It's very deep. You see, there's some knowledge you will get. It will shape your life forever. You will know where you are and you decide the quality of life you want to live. You hear people sing, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back, no turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me, kind. The cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, no turning back, no turning back. When they sing that song, they sing with an understanding, the cross before me. And they are saying the world behind me, but they said, I will follow the cross. I will go the way of the cross. The way of the cross is not convenient. The way of the cross is not the casual, ordinary way. The way of the cross is the path to knowing Jesus. And that's why understanding the power of the crucified Christ will change your character. It will alter your life. It will bring you to the place where you will desire him. You will desire him with all your life like never before. The more I know him, the more I want to know Jesus. More of you. We live in a world where Christians look like every other person. But that's not what it's supposed to be. Something is wrong. The first thing that the resurrected Christ or the power, you know, of the encounter with the crucified Christ will do is that the cross will reveal the true nature of sin. It will show you what sin is. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 53 verse 5, it says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. The only thing people know whenever they read this place is by his stripes we are healed. Please take your time and see the other things and understand it. Go to NLT or TPT and read the same translation. Please put it under translation and let's see it together. He said, but he was pierced for our rebellion. They pierced him for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. So you see, when you say crush, crushing is different. Are you getting what I'm saying? He was crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was beaten. Jesus was beaten and battered so that we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. So every time you are praying and you are receiving healing, remember the one that was whipped. When you receive healing, remember the one that was whipped. Don't forget the stripes that he bore and only take the healing. Remember, his stripes was what gave you healing. For by his stripes we are healed. If you have not encountered the crucified Christ, you will not value healing. You will not value the power of the cross. And part of the reasons why some people do not understand, value what Jesus has done for them is because they do not know him at the cross. A songwriter wrote a song and he said, at the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith
I receive my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
People are in church, but they are still blind. They have not received their sight. What gives you your sight is not church, it's the cross. Attendance does not give you your sight. Encounter with the cross gives you sight. The Bible says, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them who are lost, whom the God of this world has blinded their eyes, so that the light of the gospel will not penetrate. Every time you receive a healing, remember the one that was bruised for you. Remember the one that was battered for you. Remember the one that was wounded for you. You must know what he faced on the cross of Calvary. It will show you that God did not tolerate sin. God dealt with sin. He dealt a major blow on Jesus so that you will be healed, so that you will have life. Exposure to the crucified Christ will show you God's standard for holiness. In Hebrews chapter 12 verse 29, the Bible says, for our God is a consuming fire. In other words, ordinarily you should have been consumed. But the only thing that has killed you is the cross. Jesus hid us. He hid us at the cross. A songwriter wrote a song and said, Jesus, keep me near the cross. You know the song? Mm-hmm. Till my all in
living strength,
yeah,
flows
from Calvary's mountain. In the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever. Till my righteous soul shall find rest beyond the river. The crucifixion shows us that God takes sin seriously. God doesn't joke with sin. God dealt with sin. That sin that you see people still running up and down and enjoying and drinking in this generation, God doesn't take it at all. He doesn't like it. It was Jesus that took it. The Bible says he took upon himself our sins. Calculate all the sin that you have committed, and everybody in the universe, and all those that were born from 2,000 years, and all the sins of those before. Jesus took all of them on himself on the cross of Calvary. How do you expect such a person will be alive after carrying that kind of thing? Is anybody getting what I'm saying here? And he did it for you. He did it for you. He did it for you. I want you to remember it, because he said something at the Last Supper. Jesus was eating with his disciples, and he gave them blood, cup, wine. And he said, take this wine. It is the blood of the new covenant that I am enacting with you. He said, as often as you drink this wine and eat this flesh, he said, you are showing the Lord's death. You are proclaiming, always announce that he died. He died. He died. He died. Because that death is important. Many things people always remember. He was raised. He was raised. We agree. But he died. Don't forget he died. Don't forget he bled. Don't forget he was wounded. Don't forget he was battered. Don't forget they nearly finished every life out of him. All because of you. Because of you. Because of you. If it doesn't make sense to you, you have not met Jesus. If it doesn't make sense to you, you have not met Jesus. It is one thing to know about Jesus. It's another thing to know Jesus. It's one thing to know about him. It's another thing to know him. Paul knew about Jesus in his lifetime. But after Jesus was raised, was when he encountered him. After he had gone to heaven, he met him. And he said, Kai, I know the man I met was different. The man I met. The holiness of God. In a world that is so disorganized and messed up. Knowing the cross will remind you of the holiness of God. The cross breaks the power of self. Write it down. The cross breaks the power of self. An encounter with the cross of Jesus Christ will break your pride. Break personal ambition and self-centeredness. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 2 verse 20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Paul said, not I, but Christ that lived in me. How many believers can confidently say today that they are sure, that they are willing to crucify everything with Christ? Crucify everything with Christ. The Bible says, crucify the world and its passion. The world and its passion. He said the world we live in is fading. Its passion and everything you see, they will all fade. So Paul said, instead of following it, I set my affection on things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. He said, I am crucified with Christ. No longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. The life that I live now, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Do you know the crucified Christ? Do you know him? Do you know him? When you know the crucified Christ, you will not talk anyhow. You will not enjoy sin. Those who enjoy sin don't know the crucified Christ. If you know the crucified Christ, you will see his holiness. You will see his holiness. Isaiah encountered him and said, woe is me, for I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of the people. He said, but my eyes have seen the King. Remember when he was on the cross, they called him the King of the Jews. And somebody wanted to clean it. And while they were about to clean it, the others already said, leave it like that. They didn't know that they were really calling him King. He was not just the King of the Jews. He's the King of the universe. He died for you. He died for me. Everything that Jesus did, he did it for us. The cross reveals, number four, the depth of God's love. The cross reveals the depth of God's love. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If you want to know the love, the Bible says, for God commended his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Christ died for the ungodly. Why we were what? We were yet sinners. He did what? He died for the ungodly. He didn't wait for you to be good. He didn't wait for you to be perfect. He died for the ungodly. The Bible now says, after he died for the ungodly and you have come to him, he said, whoever has put his hand on the plow, don't turn back. Don't let anything outside distract you. There is nothing in the world that is more important than what you have found in Christ. The life that you have found in Christ is the greatest life of victory. Let me tell you the truth. You see how people move around town and just keep living anyhow, acting anyhow, anyhow. The day the trumpet of God sounds, many will know. And trumpet doesn't have to sound. Death is imminent. Death is imminent. You know? I shared with them in the first service just this week. One of our brothers jumped from Alakija Bridge and broke his leg because they wanted to kill him. Arm robbers. He didn't know when he left his house in the morning that arm robbers would be waiting. He did not know anything about that. Then you know how tall that bridge is. He had to jump just to save his life. I value my life. I don't want to die. He jumped from the bridge. And thank God he did not die. Had a broken leg, but we are thanking God today. We don't have to bury somebody. What am I trying to say? How his life is so valuable to him. He wanted to save it. But do you know the only way to really save your life is to lose it in Christ? The Bible says, he that tries to gain his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. And when you call people and say, come and save your life, they say, you say, I think I'm very busy. I want to enjoy my life first. You don't have life to enjoy. Sir, you don't have life to enjoy. The only enjoyment is in Christ. In his right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Where is the right hand? Where Jesus is seated. If you are not seated where Jesus is seated, anything you are doing is not pleasure. It is death. Am I communicating this morning? Are you okay with the gospel I'm preaching to you here this morning? I have to show you. I have to teach you. The devil is going out very wild, very fast. Some of our people went out to primary school, to preach. And when they went there, children started watching cartoon pornography. Cartoon pornography. They graduated from cartoon to real one, watching porn stars, 11 years old, 12 years old. That is the world that we are living in. If we do not disciple them well, Satan will take them. Satan is looking for as many as he can to drag into hell. There's a large net that Satan is casting on the waters of the sea of earth, as many as he can drive. If you don't know the crucified Christ, you have lost everything. You have lost everything. I beg you, in the name of Jesus, today, meet Jesus differently. Serve him differently. I am born again. It's not enough. There are many born again that are not living as if they know Jesus. Every time Jesus, we treat Jesus like a dog. We don't regard him. We don't honor him. One of these days, I'm going to show us one or two things. I was teaching the leaders yesterday. No regard, no honor. When it comes to the things of God, anyhow, when it's your boss, you sit up. When it comes to the things of God, anyhow, when it's your personal things, you get up. And God is saying, why? Why is it like that? He said, these people honor me with their mouth, but their heart is far away from me. In other words, God knows those who serve him. He knows them. He knows them. As we are in this church like this, God knows all those who are sincerely serving him. He knows those who are pretending. He knows who are genuinely seeking him, but they are struggling, and he wants to help them. He knows everybody. He knows everybody. Am I communicating this morning? Let me give you the fifth one, then I'll show you a little bit about the crucified Christ. We'll close and we'll go home. I just want to put this. When you come to the place of the crucified Christ, number five, the cross destroys the pleasure of sin. That's what the cross does. It destroys the pleasure of sin. There's no shadow you will light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me.
The snow wall you wouldn't kick down, lie you wouldn't tear down, coming after me. The snow shadow you would light up, mountain you would climb up, coming after me. The snow wall you would kick down, lie you would tear down,
coming after me.
Oh, the overwhelming, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down.
My kingdom, I will leave tonight.
I don't deserve it. Still, you gave yourself away.
Oh, the overwhelming, never ending, reckless love of God.
The knowledge of the crucified Christ will create in a person an unquenchable desire to go any mile with Jesus. Because he went all the way for you. He went all the way for you. When you know how much, how far Jesus went for you, you will know that in this fickle life of 80 years, 90 years, 120 years, it's not worth it to sacrifice anything. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. Every time I look around, I just tell myself, God, open the eyes of people to see. Let them see you high and lifted up, that you are shining in the light of your glory. Lord, pour out your power and love, so we sing holy, holy, holy. We see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. You pour out your power and love, as we sing holy, 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 holy. I want to see you. I want to see you.
Paul prayed for the church. He said that the eyes of your understanding will be enlightened. Many of them never knew that the man who's supposed to pay the price prayed. Do you know some people died and went to hell after the time Jesus Christ came in the same community? His neighbors, even the neighbors that refused to accept him, they are going to hell. Bible says, whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but whoever does not believe is condemned already. You create a distance between you and an ungodly life when you know the cross. When you truly behold Jesus and what he endured, how he was stripped, how he was shamed, how he was crushed to the point of death, something inside of you will break. Yes. Yes. No wonder I said I will give you is my word not like a hammer? When you know the word of God and know what he did, no, something will break. It will break. No matter how hard you have been, no matter how tough you have been, when you have known the crucified Christ, you see him battered, you see him wounded, you see him disgraced, you see him embarrassed, you see all the things he went through for your sake, something will break. If nothing breaks inside, you have not met Jesus. You have not met Jesus. You have not. Sin will lose attraction. See, all these ones, people are very attracted to sin, but they don't know Jesus. They know about Jesus in my book of Bible story. His story. This story, Jesus is not just a story. It's not just a myth. It was a reality. A reality. People walked with him. Historians of many ages. Listen, those were not Christian historians. These are not Christians. So say maybe they were documented as Christians. No, Josephus was just a Jewish historian. There were other Greek historians. They wrote that there was a man that existed. We know him. He had disciples. We saw him. He walked around the street. He moved around with people. We saw him one time. He fed 5,000. We saw him one time. He raised the dead. We saw all these things. The things that our eyes have seen, that our hands have beheld. Some of them were not believers. They saw it. Some of them had the accounts, clear accounts of how everything happened to Jesus. So every time you think about Jesus again, I beg you, don't think that it is one story somewhere that does not exist. If it is like that, why are you here? Why are you here? Those that serve demons, a witch of 12 years old can oppress a family for 12 years. A Christian that is 12 years old doesn't even know anything about the Bible. 15 years, doesn't know anything. You know, I was sitting down this week, before Sunday now, and God was opening my heart. Now you still have to emphasize and teach your people the need to study the word of God. Because in the last days, knowledge is increasing. If they don't know anything, you will be ashamed of your work. I said, Jesus, say yes. Continue to teach, emphasize. Some of us, you went to primary school, they bought Gosugo for you, you read. They bought comprehensive mathematics, you read. They bought English, you read. To pass exam, you read all manner of things. Chemistry, you read Ababio, you read all of them, as many names as you can remember. Big, big, giant books. But some people are 20 years old, 25, 30, 40. They have never read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. It's an insult on your age. You have to repent. Make up your mind that I will not try that again. 4 years of going to school, you read all those things. 6 years, five or university, you read all those things. Now you feel like it's time to settle down and enjoy life. No. Have you read the word? In the beginning was the word. All those books were written and words there. But there is a word that you need to know. Because in that word, the Bible says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. I tell you the truth. If I were you, I will never celebrate my next birthday 1 year from now without reading the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. It's an insult on your age. You know how many people, a missionary went to China to preach, and many years back, when he got to the place to preach, these guys usually hide in prisons where they put them to read the Bible. Then he wanted to explain to them whatever he had to explain. By the time he was trying to explain to them, he said, please bring out your Bibles. And they said, Bible here? We don't use Bible here. They will not allow us. If they catch us, we are gone. And he said, wow, so how do we read? He said, call where you want to read. And they said, well, okay, no problem. They were sitting on the floor. They're hiding. They were not doing open church. They were hiding. Do you know China is the greatest, the country that prints the highest number of Bibles, but they don't use it in China? The nations that God will judge, they are very plenty. You know, there will be judgment of nations. People are just thinking that this world, you know, time I just see people wear clothes, they're just going around street. I say, do you know your faith? What will happen if you die? Do people know their faith? Do they know that it's appointed unto man once to die? After death is judgment. Whether you are a child, a baby, 12 years, 6 years, 16 years, any age, as far as you enter age of accountability, except a baby that knows nothing, as soon as the person enters the age of accountability, which nobody can tell exactly, God knows when the person is accountable. Are you getting what I'm saying? See, many times our believers are just there. People sit down and the way they read passionately. Some people have read all the thrills and booms, pornographic porn star books and everything. Spend 4 hours watching pornography, 2 hours, 3 hours. The devil is smiling and laughing. And God is saying, you better come now. Come and build your destiny. Whoever builds on the word of God will abide. Why marriages are scattering? They don't read the Bible. Why people cannot live with? They don't read the Bible. Why is the word good? They don't read the Bible. Why? Because it is the Bible that shows you the wisdom of God. There you will know the crucified Christ. I'm not trying to shame anybody, but can I tell you the truth? Sincere to yourself. If you had a child that you sent to school and bought textbooks for them so that they will pass and they keep failing, what would you do? Every time you fail, God is saying, go and read the word. Every time you're struggling with an addiction, I say, read the word. Every time you're trying, rising and falling, read the word. Every time you say, I'm there, I say, read the word. Why? Because the word is the foundation for everything. That's why people don't know the crucified Christ. Let me wrap up this service today. Listen, from Golgotha, from the night, few days before Jesus Christ was crucified, a lot of things happened to him. And some of the things that happened to Jesus Christ, I want to show you. You'll see it, and we'll close this service. When you go home, like Joshua said, he said, I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. He said, choose life so that you and your children will live. He advised them well. I advise anybody under the sound of my voice, choose a better life with God. Choose it. Some of us, the way you know your business, front and back of your business, the hidden things, but yet you don't know the business of God. You need to wake up and know the business of God. I beg you. I encourage you. I'm saying it with all, how do I put it down? All my life to beg you that you will not celebrate. At least you read 4 chapters a day, you will finish the whole Bible. You make it 8 chapters a day, in 6 months you are done. You make it 4.5 chapters in the next 9 months you are done. Please! Don't let 2026 end without reading the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. At least, just show that I read it now. Even if nothing, study will come later. I read it. You know what God was, I won't tell you what God was saying, but it's heavy in my heart. If you say, because of the level of people in church, some people in church are grown, some people are not mature. Some people say something, they'll be like, No, so I try to balance my, I've been a little bit strong on it today. I know why I'm doing this.
But there are some other things I would have said. Paul said, I would have told you, but I will not say it. He said, because when I consider that some people are carnal, he said, no, you are yet carnal, so I can't say it. There are some things if I say now, some people will never believe. You cannot believe, because if somebody is on the mountain and seeing something and you're in the valley, you can't see it. You will only argue. Wait until you get to the mountain. Wait until you come to a depth with God and God begins to tell you how his heart is bleeding. Wait until God begins to tell you how that he's bleeding and he's crying to see that the people that he shed his blood for and he died for on the cross of Calvary, that they are nowhere to be found. Jesus said, if I come back to the face of the earth, will I find a single faith? Can you know what it means to say single? Consistent person, single faith. Because he knows what he went through. Why did Peter die the way Peter died? Why did James die the way he died? Do you know how the disciples died? Some of them died. They carried a horse, a cart, those days. Carried the leg of the man, tie it with rope, and they would drag all his back until his bones begin to drag. Everything, the intestines will come out, and he will die. Why? He said he's following Jesus. They carried the head of some of them, and they carried club. You know what the club? A sledgehammer. And they pounced the head, and the brain poured out. Why? They said it's Jesus. We have seen him. We have known him. Whatever the cost, we will go with him. These are the men that met Jesus. I want to beg you, the way we are seeing Jesus in this generation, let it change. Jesus does not know whether you are Gen Z. He does not know. Maybe Gen Z, that's why they call it Z, the generation they will come for. Z, better just know. A lot of things are happening. Am I talking sense to somebody? A pastor was preaching one day in the church, and a boy was in the church watching pornography. In the church, where the man of God was preaching live, he was there watching. The man saw it, collected the phone. I'm sorry, sir. I'm sorry. The grip of sin was still locked up in his flesh. Even when he was in the presence, he didn't feel anything. That is how bad the world has gotten. We need to come out. We need to wake up and tell ourselves. I don't know what our children will look like. I believe that if nothing is done, a generation will come where on a large 70, 80 inches television, the children will play pornography and their daddy will be coming from work. They'll say, welcome, sir. And they'll be watching it. Watch out. If Christ tarries, you see, the children will refuse to warn today. They are the ones that will give heart attack, that will kill you. You better wake up. We need to wake a generation. Eli died because he could not talk to his children. He died. Fell on the chair and broke his neck. And if we do not say it, if you keep your mouth shut, one day, you will open the room, see your boy and your girl having sex, and they say, mommy, please close the door. We are not yet done. And you will know that Satan is fighting to bring sin to the lowest level, to rubbish the whole world. Only the video, and I close. That's what Jesus did for us on the cross of Calvary. All the way to Calvary he went. For me, Jesus went. For me, Jesus went. For me, all the way to Calvary he went. For me, he died to set me free. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my body and soul found liberty at Calvary. This man beat Jesus. Roman soldiers were trained. Please pause a little bit. Roman soldiers were trained in the art of flogging. They had certificate in flogging. They don't use the small ones to flog. The people that will flog are the giant Roman soldiers. History has it that till tomorrow, Roman soldiers knew what they did then. They stopped using nail to crucify and started using rope after Jesus had died. They saw how gruesome the death was. It's not something that you say, does he exist, does he exist? If people can use electric chairs as part of the judgment for people, judges, because of what a human being did, they'll put an electric chair, they invented an electric chair, sit down there, and the person will be shocked till he dies. Much more, think of the Romans in age where they didn't have correct laws, where they didn't have anything to justify anybody. That is how they were killing people. And this Jesus was there like that on the cross of Calvary. Before he even came, Peter, his beloved disciple, denied him. Judas Iscariot, the one that was holding his money, person who hold my money, kill me. Why? He wanted to sell Jesus and add more money to the purse.
Because Jesus told him, I'm going to die. He said, why will you die? I'm supposed to be the financial officer of the nation when you become king. Now you want to die. Never. And because Jesus refused, he sold him for 30 pieces of silver. 30 pieces of silver is the amount you sell a common slave. A common slave. That was what Jesus was worth in the eyes of those that he gave himself for. That was how much Judas saw Jesus. And he sold him. In the pain that Jesus Christ knew all these things that he would go through, he went to Gethsemane to pray. And he said, Father, if it is possible for this cup to pass over me, let it happen. I've seen the way they kill people. I've seen how bad. I've been part of it. I've seen how. This is something that happens regularly in the Roman culture. Amongst the Jews and the Roman people. They are terrible. And the Roman people hardly kill their own citizens. They hardly will do that. Because the citizen of Rome is a high-priced citizen. They do it to criminals. Criminals. That's why Jesus was not a Roman person, he was a Jew. So it was easy for them. And they put him through 6 judgments from 3 a.m. in the midnight to 9 a.m. before he was killed. He went to Pontius Pilate. He came before the people. He did everything. And they brought out a criminal, Barabbas. And they were asking that, this Jesus, is it Jesus you want or Barabbas? And those that Jesus healed their children, raised their children from the dead, they said, crucify him, crucify him. The people he raised their children from the dead. The 5,000 that he gave food to eat. They ate his food. They were alive because of him. He healed their sick. The woman whose dead child was raised probably did not say it, but she could not do anything. She was helpless, just watching. Is this how they will kill him? Are they this foolish to see that if this man continues in this land, there will be no blind person again. There will be no leprosy. But all those people, the high priests of the synagogue, stood up and they shouted, crucify him. Give us a criminal. Give us a molester of people. Give us this one. We don't want him. The Bible says, scarcely for any person will a righteous man die. He said, people will not even die for a good person. But God commended his love towards us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Look at what Jesus went through. Go ahead, play it. He was there. The Roman soldiers started beating him. They use what they call a flagrum. A flagrum is like a koboko that has metal balls. You know metal balls? Lead. You know what they call lead? That thing on your battery head is called lead. Then turn it to like a ball. Then you package it inside something that holds it. Like that. Wait, well, after the cane, you'll see what they did. That cane was not enough. That one was preparation for the beating. That was preparation. And that is the Jesus Christ that you hear about and you just walk away and stroll. Why? Why? Why would it happen like that? That's why when people forget about the teaching of the cross, they will live anyhow. When they forget the teaching of the cross, and Jesus knew that they will soon forget because it's the nature of human beings to forget. So he did a communion the night before he would die. And he said, every time you take the communion, do it in remembrance of me. Don't ever forget me. That's the man there. The Roman soldier beating. Look at this one. Breathing hard. Oh. If the person beating is breathing hard, what's happening to the person that is beating? Eh? And Jesus was carrying it. Everything that he was carrying for your sake. One of them was there and could not even stand it. And was like, I know we do this thing, but what has this man really done? You know, if he's a criminal, you will gladly beat a criminal. But they took him to Pilate. Pilate said nothing. They brought him before Herod. Nothing. They brought him. It was his own people. The Bible says he came to his own and his own received him not. That's what the Bible says. Look at it. Yes. That's it. That's the mother watching. And she watched her son flogged and bled so badly. So badly. They were beating Jesus. Go ahead and flog. Yeah, more. Anytime you are healed, remember this. Every time you stand to pray, remember he was wounded. When the devil is tempting you to do anything, remember this. Viewers' discretion, if you don't mind. But if you want to watch, you can watch. Flogged him to the point he touched his eye like this. They would have plucked his eyes out. So when you read Isaiah again, you should know what Isaiah means. They are terrible people. They don't consider anybody. And I'm sure that certain demons would have been excited to partner with this guy to really flog him to death. All the way to Calvary he went for me. Jesus went for me. Jesus went for me, all the way to Calvary he went
For me, he died to set me free.
Put the sound. It is because it is a movie. That's why that guy is putting on something. In real life, they naked them. It was a movie that nobody would want to do a movie and be naked. That's why you see that guy wearing it. Read history and you will see what they did to Jesus. That's why Mary Magdalene had to take spices to go and treat the wound. She thought she would meet him there. Your sickness, or HIV, what do you call it, cancer, hepatitis, every sickness was put on one man once. You carry only one migraine, you're already shouting. Jesus carried every single thing at the same time. The Bible says he bore the sickness of all of us. He carried our sin, the guilt that he did not do. What he did not do, they were flogging him. Look at the battered body, oh, that's what they're dragging like that. A body that is already wounded, battered, shattered, messed up. It is said that at this flogging, when they flog some people, they will mistakenly tear them and their intestines will burst out. It was prophecy that made Jesus like this. Because if Jesus died here, the sacrifice is not complete. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Listen, pause. If a sacrificial animal dies outside the altar, there's no sacrifice. That's why people know the exact place to put a sacrifice. Why? Sacrifices have a place where they will be. And for Jesus, he must be on the cross of Calvary. If he died on the road, it's a wasted death. If he died just here now, it's a wasted death. He was super God, whichever way God sustained him, and he was able to bear all these things. Because, of course, they know human beings usually can bear it. But after 6 hours, Jesus died. Some people stay on the cross for a whole day. Then birds, hawks, will come and pluck out their eyes. Insects will feast on them. 2 days after, they will bring them down from the cross. They do it so that everybody can see it. That if they tell you that this sin exists, in your life, you'll never go there. That's how the Romans were hard and tough. They had penalty for sin. Crucifixion was the worst. It was the slowest, but the most difficult. And they considered the Son of Man, that's how he would die. It remains 2 minutes. Play it. Let's close. Play it. Is it up to 2 minutes? Play it. Let's finish it. Are you done? Yes. So that's how Jesus carried that thing. Now, when Jesus carried this body like this, they now carried a log of wood, about 50 kg. It's usually 35 to 50 kg, like the bag of cement. Carried it on your shoulder. Before that time, they now carried a crown of thorn. You know what thorn is. They now carried a crown of thorn and sat the crown on his head, pierced it. Blood started flowing. A man that sweated until certain soft capillary, blood linings under the skin burst open and sweat was coming with blood. That is the man that people look at and they say, hey, what is that? Does it matter? Let me enjoy my life. You don't have life. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Nobody has life. Only him has life. He carried that thing and he walked down. He was going 1 mile, but he could not reach there. He fell. Then Simon of Cyrene came and helped him to carry it. When he now got to where they would crucify him, they laid that back that was battered, that back that has been scattered, whether it is floor or wound or wood or sand, they rolled the back on the floor like that. Every time he fell, sand will enter. How many of you have been injured before and little sand enters there? You know how it feels. The other day, a door hit my hand like this. I nearly, for days, I was asking myself, I said, what is this? I felt like I should just die for some time and wake up when I'm healed already. I'm telling you the truth. That's how painful it can be. And Jesus carried it like that, and he had you in mind. The Bible says, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame for your sake. Don't joke with the crucified Christ. You need to know him. He finished all these things. He got to the cross. Then the Father said to him, he looked at the Father, and the Father looked at him and packed his face. And when the Father moved his face, it was not face to say that I hate you. It was face to say I can see them. If all of them must come, you have to stay there. I don't bother about you. I bother about them. That's why Jesus told his disciples, he said, as the Father has loved me, that is how he loves you. He has not died when he was telling them all, because he knows it. If you don't know this love, your desire for God will not rise. Do not. If you know this love, when somebody tells you, you say, no, forget it. I know what I have found. I know light. I know him, and I will never allow any devil. When Jesus was going to die on the cross of Calvary, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Anytime the devil tempts you next, remind him of the cross. Every time you are tempted to turn away from righteousness, remember the cross. Anytime you are tempted to live your life anyhow, remember the cross. Anytime you are tempted to live like the people, the Bible says, do not be well so well adjusted with the culture around you that you fit in easily.
but be renewed, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I beg everyone today under the sound of my voice, in the name of Jesus, the Son of Living God, may it not be heard that you saw the crucified Christ and eventually abandoned him and wasted yourself in hell. May it not be heard that you saw the crucified Christ and every time you want to serve him casually, stroll anyhow to church, anyhow. I know they are new believers. I pamper you, I understand. But forgive me today. No pampering. Let me just preach. So that if you accept Christ today and you know this one, you can overtake somebody who has been a Christian for the past 15 years. There's spiritual overtaking in this kingdom. I have shown you life. Heaven bears witness today that on this altar, I preach the truth and nothing but the truth. So that every demon in hell will know that you have heard the truth. Your decision is yours. Rise up on your feet. Crucified Christ. I don't want to talk about the glorified, because if I talk glorified, we rejoice what he has done for me. Yes, I know what he has done. We'll talk about that another time. What he has, how he has given you life, hope, everything. Yes, but let's talk about how he took away your sin. That's what I have discussed. Lift up your voice and say, God, help me never to undermine, underestimate what you have done. If this thing does not break your heart, sincerely, I don't know what to break your heart. I don't know what to break your heart yet. Maybe another time, or maybe another thing, but at least for now, I have done my best. I have shown you what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary. Look at the way they pierced his hand inside his wrist, his body. Every time Jesus wanted to breathe on the cross for 6 hours, you know how he was breathing? That back that was supposed to be wounded and battered is now on the cross, holding like this. And he will have to, like this, put that so that they can see. He will have to stay like that. He will drag himself up, scratch with the wound, breathe in. Then if he must breathe out, he will go down again. How many hours? 6 hours. It was not easy. It was not an easy death. And they put him to this test and torture. What have you suffered? I've done this. I've gone through this. You have not gone through anything. Jesus has gone through everything. He has given you eternal life already if you are born again. And if you are not yet born again, he's offering you eternal life. Take it with joy. This is the love of the Father. When you know this love, you will love him like... When anybody says anything, tell them forget it. I want you to pray and say, God, open my eyes to see you. I want to see the crucified Christ. Let my eyes see you so that I can serve you the way I ought to serve you. The more I know you, the more I want to know you, Jesus, more of you. God, the more I know you, is the more I want to know you, Jesus, more of you. I have decided to follow Jesus. Can you sing it now? I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided
to follow Jesus.
No turning back.
No turning back. No turning back.
I have decided.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus.
I'm not turning back.
No turning back. No turning back.
Say, Lord, I give you my life. Give you my soul. I live for you.
I live for more.
Every breath that I
every
take.
Every breath I, every moment I'm away. Oh, Lord, have your way.
Have your way in me. If you are here in this service today, you used to be very serious with God, but you drew back. You backslided. You forgot everything about the sacrifice. You are here in this service today. You were born into a Christian home, but you found the privilege to be free, and you have given all yourself to Satan. I want you to start talking to God and say, Lord, I am sorry. I come back. I come back. Lord, I am sorry. I am sorry. I am sorry. I am sorry.
You're born again, but you know that your commitment has dwindled. Your passion and devotion for Jesus is dead. You have all it takes to attend midweek service. You have all it takes to read the Bible. You have what it takes to pray. Just that diligence. And you are dragging back. You just show up in church at least on Sunday. Repent now and say, Lord, no more like that. No more, no more, no more. I will not do like that again. I repent. We are entering 2026 shortly. Repent and say, God, no, I will not. I will not. I will not. I want to make a commitment. I will study now. I will pray now. I'll be devoted. I will be present. I will not just live anyhow again. And finally, you are here today. You want to accept Jesus into your heart as your Lord and your personal Savior. Say, Pastor Mavis, I have to accept Jesus today. If the trumpet sounds now, I am not sure that I will go to heaven. And Jesus was not ashamed of me. He died publicly on the streets, naked. I want you to know that it was a movie. That's why that man could not go naked. He died naked for me, and I am not ready to hide anything. You want to accept Jesus into your heart as your Lord and Savior in this service without looking at anybody, considering anything, raise your hand. I'm going to pray with you. I want to pray with you. That's the person I want to pray with right now. You want to accept Jesus into your heart as your Lord and Savior. Satan has been dragging you by all means, but in this service you say, Pastor, I want to make a commitment. I want to get serious. I want to follow Jesus. Goodbye, world. I stay no longer with you. Goodbye, pleasures of sin. I stay no longer with you. I made up my mind to go God's way
for the rest of my life.
I made up my mind.
I made up my mind to go God's way for the rest of my life.
Quietly raise your hand if you are making that commitment. I'm going to pray with you. Clearly raise it up to service. Be bold. Be very bold about it. There's nothing to fear. Don't consider anybody. You have no business with anybody. Your business is with Jesus. Your business is with Jesus. Raise your hand and say these words after me. Wherever you are, confidently say it. Say, Lord Jesus, today I come to you the way I am. Have mercy on me. I am sincerely sorry for my sins, for forgetting you and your sacrifice. Today, I accept you into my heart as my Lord and my Savior. I receive eternal life and I will serve you. I will follow you. I am born again now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Now, if you made that confession immediately after this service, I will spend 1 minute with you. Only 1 minute. Please ensure to see me after the service. I'll be waiting outside the canopy there. No, in the church here, front seat on this side. I'll be waiting immediately after the service. I would like to see you. Immediately. I know why I want to see you, especially this morning. Lord, I pray for everyone who at one time or the other drew back. Those who have been lackadaisical, they are careless about their work. They have taken other things as priority, but they have seen it today that if Jesus did all things for me, why am I relaxed? Why am I drawing back? Some people that were passionate before, but their passion and fire has gone cold. Lord, I pray to restore fire for them. Restore strength. Restore power. In the name of Jesus, every plan of Satan to abort our destinies and waste our lives, it has been truncated. Everyone who has heard this word, Lord, may this word not stand against anybody. May it not be that they heard this word and they went back and became normal. After this encounter, may you continue to remind them of your sacrifice. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We are sure you've been blessed tremendously. For more of these life-transforming messages, stay connected with us across our social media platforms at PTC Center and visit our website at www.ptccenter.org. God bless you.